So in the third talk for this week, I want to give you a little bit of advice on how to read the suttas in the Pali Canon. For myself, as a practitioner, as a Dharma practitioner, I practice in the Tibetan tradition, and that was really my entry point to the Dharma. And so I didn't start off reading anything to do with the foundational teachings. I didn't start off reading the suttas. And what I discovered was huge gaps in my knowledge and understanding. And it made me want to go back to the beginning. It made me really want to go back to the simple foundational teachings of Buddhism. And so I started reading suttas. And in the beginning, I didn't really understand them very well. I didn't really know how to read them. And so I want to share some of my experience of how I started to approach reading these suttas, how I guide my students in reading them. This is what I want. My aim of this talk is to really help you to befriend these suttas, these teachings that are supposedly what the Buddha taught. And they're vast topics, and they're a lot of different situations and scenarios. So sometimes it will be the Buddha talking to a bhikkhu or a student, and that those particular suttas have a particular quality to them. Sometimes it will be the Buddha talking to a group of villagers who have showed up to ask him a question. Sometimes it will be young Brahmins who've come to challenge him to debate. So there's a lot of different kinds of people that show up in these suttas, and the Buddha teaches to them in different ways, because as a teacher, he's a really wonderful model of how to approach people and talk to people where they're at. So it's important to understand that when you're reading a sutta, to ask yourself the question, who's talking? Who's asking a question? What's the situation? Another quality that I really love about these suttas is how earthy they are, just how simple and sort of pragmatic they are. And the settings themselves are things like the Buddha sitting under a tree, or is at the edge of a village, in a gathering place. And so there's this quality of the earth. I can almost imagine the sort of fertile earth of Bihar in India under my feet, between my toes, and the cool shade of a tree, and an escape from the hot sun. So I think it's important also to sort of develop a sense of the scene in your mind, to actually imagine the scene that's being described. I want to emphasize this earthy quality, particularly if you're a practitioner of more esoteric teachings. I really want to encourage you to try and read some of these suttas and bring yourself back into that very simple earthy scene of a tree and the earth and these teachings. I've found it incredibly helpful. So there are a few questions that I find to be helpful in how to approach reading the suttas. The first one is, are they authentic Buddhism? Is this really what the Buddha said? And the short answer to that is, we're not going to know for sure. What we have received in these written documents were written down several hundred years after the Buddha supposedly lived, and were chanted and recited. And in fact, actually the oldest version of the Pali Canon that we currently have is only about 500 years old. So I'm not sure if it's really even helpful to debate whether or not we think this is authentic or not. There's not really any way to prove that. What I will say about that, though, is the teachings that are contained within these suttas have been practiced for 2,500 years. And so they seem to have been quite effective, and they've survived the test of time. So it might be worth just taking a look and seeing what they have to say, because a lot of people have found them incredibly beneficial. This leads to the next question, are they helpful? As I've said, a lot of people have found these to be incredibly helpful. And I think understanding the suttas as a kind of spiritual roadmaps or guides towards maturing upon a spiritual path. But ultimately, it's up to you to see whether or not they're helpful to you. You won't know until you find out. So give it a try and read a few of them and see what you think. Another important point that I want to make, or a question that might come up, is how to navigate reading the suttas. There's so many of them, and they may seem to contradict one another, or they might contradict ideas that you have about the Dharma. The important thing to remember is that they are aiming to get at a lot of different kinds of difficulties or problems or things that come up in your mind, emotions that come up, or problems that come up on your spiritual path, and they're aiming to get at things from all different angles. They're also aiming for different audiences and for different kinds of people. So it's important to bear this in mind, that it's not meant to be a complete linear system. You may remember me talking about that kind of process of thinking that some of us may be conditioned into doing, that they're presenting some kind of linear process and that it all has to agree. The suttas aren't like that. There are particular ones that you may read that you find incredibly helpful, and then you'll find one that seems to contradict something that says something somewhere else. So a little bit of patience and perseverance is also recommended. I sometimes compare this quality of the suttas to books on raising children. You know, if someone could write the definitive book on how to raise a child, I think it would have already been written by now. So there are lots of different techniques, but ultimately, as a parent, if any of you are parents, you understand that you might be able to read a book on child rearing, and some of that information might be helpful and relevant to raising your individual child, and some of it may not. And so you might find yourself taking some information from one of those texts or one of those books and applying it and seeing how it works. And for me, it's a little bit like that, except in this case, the child is your mind. So another quality of the suttas is that I think is important to understand is these aren't containing rules or regulations about how you're supposed to explore a path of Dharma. And they do also offer a lot of very, very practical advice. So there are suttas that talk about how to live in community. There are suttas that talk about the difficulties of alcoholism. There are suttas that talk about how to tend to the sick and the dying. There are suttas about how to live in a family system. There's all sorts of different suttas that give very practical advice from all aspects of being on a spiritual path. So it isn't always about monastic advice, but it has a lot of advice for how to live as a layperson as well. So as you start to explore the suttas, you may find some that are surprisingly relevant to your own experience. And I want to encourage you not to get deterred by the language or the way that they're written. They can be very repetitive because they were intended initially to be chanted. So you have to understand that it's almost like reading song lyrics. It's like reading a song. So I find it very helpful to actually read them out loud. And actually in my classes here at Naropa with my students, we take the time where we read them out loud to each other. And I encourage my students even to go and sit under a tree and read them out loud, either to each other or to themselves. So when we start to approach the suttas in this way, and we can start to recognize even just a little bit of our own experience being described in these suttas, then these teachings don't become so far-fetched after all. they can actually become something that we can integrate into our own lives. They don't seem as so far and distant if you can start to really open into what these suttas are trying to tell you. And they're intended to energize your practice. They're intended to encourage you to become a more wholesome person. And you might come across, we'll come across this term a lot in the early tradition about wholesome and unwholesome. And what do those terms actually mean? Just simply, at least from this point in the beginning, what that means is moving away from being unhappy to being happy. And what does that entail? And these wholesome qualities that are encouraged in the suttas are things like generosity, compassion, non-harm. Very simple things that we could all learn from. And this is what often you'll see being encouraged in these teachings, to develop these qualities of generosity and kindness and compassion, and also contemplation of loosening that attachment to the sense of me and mine or I. So these suttas will present a situation, and oftentimes there'll be this suggestion or this encouragement to follow the path towards generosity and kindness and mindfulness, and less of a sense of protecting what's mine. And actually, this is really common sense. Everybody can understand this. What we think is going to make us happy, what we attach to, the qualities of greed and of craving and of anger, those don't lead you anywhere towards happiness. They lead you towards unhappiness. And a lot of these suttas, this is the basic message of the suttas. And this is something that we can all understand and we can all experience and we can all try. So what the message that these suttas are trying to get us towards is to stop getting ensnared with these feelings of trying to chase some kind of permanent happiness. And we get so caught up in chasing that we forget the kind of really lovely natural qualities that are already here with us, that we already have. I would like to also say that reading these kinds of texts that have survived for 2,500 years in a world that is, we're being bombarded with information and we're being bombarded with a lot of difficult information and a lot of suffering, that reading something like this is actually, it's sort of a respite. It's a kind of cool shade of a tree in a world of madness and suffering and pain. So another question is, which suttas should I read? Any ones you like is the short answer to that. There are a few that are very key to the foundational view and the first turning teachings, and we'll be looking at some of those in this course. But I would encourage you to just pick some suttas and try reading them. A few things to bear in mind. As I've said, they have a repetitive quality and they have a rhythm to them which is meant to be spoken. So I would encourage you to speak them out loud or read them to a friend, or read them out loud with each other. Also bear in mind different translations, words that are used. You can explore and see if you can find translations that are more accessible to you. I'd also encourage you to stop and contemplate a particular sentence. If you find yourself reading a sutta and it makes you kind of stop for a minute, then trust that. Sit with whatever that sentence or whatever that thought has brought up for you and just contemplate it. Nobody is suggesting that you need to race through and read them all and understand everything. If something irritates you, notice that. Sit with that. If something really speaks to you, notice that and sit with that. If you decide that you might want to read one over and over and over again, you might read it one sentence at a time. All of those ways are very helpful to just start to attune yourself to this material. That's why it's important to just explore. So I really want to encourage you to explore these suttas. And in doing that, I have a suggestion, which is an enrichment activity for this section of the course, so for this week of the course. And that is to go to the website Access to Insight, and I've provided a link for you, and it's called a random sutta generator. And you can just click on that and a sutta will pop up. And it's sort of like a little kind of magical sort of quality of what pops up, what came up for you. Why did that one come up? Is there something that is very relevant in that randomly generated sutta that popped up for you? And just take a look and see what it says. And I'd love to hear your experience with that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what suttas came up for you.